Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 21st. We'll take a closer look at the Democratic presidential nomination process this hour with Joe Winicky, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'll dissect the Wisconsin primary results a little further, and we'll get Joe Winicky's take on whether or either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton will have the required number of delegates needed to secure the Democratic nomination by convention time. And if not, what role the superdelegates will have. And we'll also get him to respond to our guest earlier this week when we talked to U.S. Representative Ron Kind, who says he wants the Democratic Party to do away with this superdelegate system. We'll find out what Joe says about that. Plus, he can answer any questions you have at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joe Winicky is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So now you're a superdelegate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're uncommitted at this point or undeclared or whatever the terminology is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a number of people that I think you'll be hearing about in coming days. I noticed that Jason Ray, our young protege from the Marquette University.
Who got all that national attention, yeah.
Yes, came out for Senator Obama. And obviously, Representative Kind and Representative Kagan will be coming out for Obama because they said beforehand they were going to go by the wishes of their district, and Senator Obama won both those seats. There's still a handful of people that are so-called superdelegates that have not committed. I'm kind of viewing my role right now as trying to make sure we have unity and peace, and therefore I'm going to wait a little while yet before I come out with my own endorsement or support. And this thing about the superdelegates, we've had these since the Hunt Commission in 1982. This is not something new, and this is not an attempt to thwart democracy. But I have gotten kind of a kick out of the, because people don't really understand the process, and it hasn't been very well explained. There seems to be a lot of people, especially supporting Senator Obama, who seem to think that if he has the lead at the end of this process, that somehow these old men, bald, old, heavy men who smoke cigars in back rooms are going to somehow thwart the will of the people and give Senator Clinton the nomination. Well, if you look at what's happening in Wisconsin, it appears to me that most of the superdelegates are going to Senator Obama. So, sometimes, and then we're getting people who are saying Representative Baldwin should not be able to support Senator Clinton because her district voted for Senator Obama. And my argument is, well, if those same people say that, I hope they will also say that Senators Ted Kennedy and John Kerry must then support Hillary Clinton because Massachusetts went for her. And they're not saying that. So I say, cut these people a break. The process is going to work fine. We're going to have a unified Democratic Party. And when it's all over, we're going to have a Democratic president on January 20th, and the long 8-year national nightmare will be over.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. But in Wisconsin, did you say there are 18 superdelegates?
That's correct.
And 14 of them so far have...
No, not 14. I'm just guessing where that will all end up. A couple of the superdelegates have not yet been appointed, and they'll be appointed at June 13th at the state party convention. They're unpledged add-on delegates, but there are 16, and they're the governor, both United States senators, are 5 members of Congress, and then 8 members of the Democratic National Committee. We actually have more superdelegates than we normally would because Tim Sullivan has been appointed by Howard Dean as a national at-large delegate, and Awais Khalil is the first chair of the College Democrats of America, which puts him on the DNC. So we have 2 more than we normally would. But these are all really good people, and they work, as hard as they can. They get elected at our state convention. People do forget, and it's kind of touchy, but these processes are actually political party conventions. They're not, they're not a public convention per se. And people think you're trying to thwart the will of democracy or something, but this is the way it's been in our country for 200 years, and it's worked pretty darn well.
The parties nominate.
The parties nominate, right. Mm-hmm. And so it would seem to be logical that some of the hardest working activists in the party should be involved in that process. Like, I think it'd be kind of silly, and I'm not trying to stroke my own self here, but it seemed kind of silly if the chairman of the state party wasn't a voting delegate. I mean, I'm supposed to be up there introducing the governor when we announce the great state of Wisconsin gives our 92 delegates to. But under that process, I wouldn't be.
Well, why aren't you just one of the 92 delegates?
Well, I mean, I could be, I guess. Well, I'm not very popular.
So no, no. How are the plain old delegates?
Why don't I explain how this works? Well, we have 92 delegates. 48 of those were determined on Tuesday based on the popular vote in the 8 congressional districts. Of those votes, I've actually got the numbers here somewhere. I believe it went of the 48... Let me add, I'll get to the numbers later because my math's not very good today. There were 48 that are chosen by congressional district. There are also 26 more, which the 48 and 26 gets to the 74 that people would have seen on television. Those are at-large delegates, which and pledged party leader and elected officials. You know, historically, the mayor of Milwaukee's a delegate, for example, if he's a Democrat. Be funny if we had the county executive of Milwaukee. I don't think he'd come. So there's 26 more. Those 26 are decided by the popular vote statewide. So of the 26 at-large and what we call PLEOs, they were broken out on a 58-41 basis, the percentage of the state. The 48 done by congressional district are based on the percentage vote in that congressional district. And as it turned out, it meant there were 42 votes for Senator Obama and 32 votes for Senator Clinton, which, if you figure out the voting percentage, is almost exactly the way the state went, which so, means it works.
Okay, so say that again. Obama will get 42 delegates,
right.
And
Senator Clinton will get 32, and then we have 18 more delegates, which are the so-called superdelegates. 16 of those, we know who they are. There are two where, actually, I'll be making the recommendation who they will be to the State Administrative Committee on June 13th. Then, to add, to make get people more confused, we also, as a party, have a whole bunch of goals that we try to meet to make sure. We have a goal to make sure that young people are represented. We have a goal to make sure that African Americans are represented. Gays and lesbians and transgenders are represented. A certain amount of people with disabilities. And what we try to do after you get... And then half the delegates have to be male and half the delegates got to be female. And when it comes down to it, when you get down to those last 6 or 8 delegates, it's a real balancing act to try and show the diversity of our party and still make it work.
We're going to talk more about this after we check weather. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, talking about the nomination process, delegates and superdelegates, and where the race for the White House is going from here. And we'll dissect a little more the results from Wisconsin's primary this week as well. And we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Before we go to the phones, Joe Winicky, why have superdelegates at all? We talked a little bit about this with Representative Kind, a little bit of why there are these superdelegates in the first place.
Well, it's kind of a long story, and it actually starts in the 1968 Chicago Convention, which, if for people who are old enough to remember or read history, was kind of a disaster. You know, we had riots in the streets and we had the war going on and everything else. And that got a bunch of people upset. Then the 72 election, where George McGovern won the nomination and just got creamed, they created a whole bunch of new party rules aimed at absolute democracy, which many people are talking today. Well, that lasted for about 4 years. And then by 1982, what was called the Hunt Commission, which was chaired by former Governor Hunt from North Carolina, came up with these rules that created the superdelegates and the like in an attempt to make sure that we nominate the best candidate who can win in November. And we don't, I mean, this is going to sound a little strange, but sometimes absolute democracy doesn't work very well. I mean, and you know, like the United States of America has this, everybody calls our America a democracy. We're actually a republic. You know, we elect people to vote for us. A democracy means you'd vote for your, you know, everybody would vote. And At that time, they created this to make sure that, you know, people like governors and U.S. senators and members of the DNC would have some say in case we had a runaway train run amok. The Republicans, if things like what's happened in the New York Times today become, you know, if things get goofy there, they might be glad they have a similar process. So, I don't know if we want to go into it too far. Because
maybe we'll talk a little bit more about John McCain's situation in a bit. But the
whole point is, what would happen if down the road something really bad happened and you found out something about your candidate that really made him unelectable? That's the point. And so we tried to have this buffer just in case. Now, I don't think this whole superdelegate thing is going to be a big issue because my gut feeling is that we will have a nominee well before that nominee may not have all the delegates they need, but we'll have a nominee before the convention. And it's not going to be a brokered convention. And I mean, and, you know, the heat's now on Senator Clinton.
Really? We'll have a nominee on the Democratic side?
I believe so.
Before the convention?
Well, I mean, right now, the big question is going to be Senator Clinton. Because, you know, I think she has every right to stay in this race, and she's within 60 or 70 delegates. Of course she should stay in this race. But their own campaign drew the line in the sand that said, you know, 3 weeks ago, which I thought was really a stupid move on their part by Howard Wolfson, their communications person, where they said, you know, basically before Virginia and Maryland and Wisconsin and Washington and Hawaii, they said all eyes are going to, you know, the race starts in Ohio and Texas. Well, now the expectation is that Senator Clinton must win both of those states and win Pennsylvania. If she does do that, she has a viable path to the nomination. If she does not do that, I think this process is over.
That she will she'll withdraw from the race?
I can't speak, obviously, for Senator Clinton, but if she loses Texas or Ohio, I don't know how you can figure the math that she could be the nominee.
I thought with the math, she would have to not only win Texas and Ohio and Pennsylvania, but she'd have to win by a ton.
No, that's a spin from the other camp. Mm-hmm. If she wins those states, neither candidate's going to be close to the nomination. And then it gets down to Big Mo. Who's got the momentum, who people think is the best chance of winning in November, which comes back to why you have a political convention. People forget we've had conventions in the 20th century where it took 130 ballots to find a nominee.
Yeah. Let me take a caller who is going to take issue with the superdelegate system. Ray in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning to you and your guest. I'm just stunned by what he's saying, basically. South Africa has already passed one person, one vote. But for some reason in this country, the political parties, right now the Democratic Party has just disenfranchised the people who already voted in Michigan and the people who voted in Florida because some of the Democratic leaders in those states decided to move up their primary.
That's not true, sir.
Yeah.
Well, haven't they been disenfranchised?
Though that was not the Democratic leaders who made that decision. It was the state legislature, and in Florida's case, it was Republican state legislature that moved up there.
How about in Michigan? Michigan
has a split legislature. Yeah. Both parties did it. So,
but you guys are punishing those Democratic voters in both of those states for something they did not do. It was something that was done by people above them, and you know this is true. Why can't we have one person, one vote in this country? Why not?
Well, because you would have to change the United States Constitution to do so.
Well, let's do that.
Well, over superdelegates?
I thought you were
ridiculous. Superdelegates, who is controlling you yourself? You could vote for
I control myself.
You wanted.
Yes,
but
I can.
But this is insane. Shouldn't it be run by the people?
But we haven't in 200. I mean, if you want to change the way we do this, I mean, the Electoral College is eminently unfair under Ray's argument because ask Al Gore, you know, who won 500,000 more popular votes and lost the 2000 election.
And
this is the system we've had. It's just that for some reason this year people seem to think, and I think the system's working really well. And as chair of the Democratic Party, I've never seen so much excitement in my life. We had six or seven really quality candidates running a while ago. Over time, you know, the process weeded people out. And right now we have two fantastic candidates. And the proof in the pudding is there were 1.5 million votes on Tuesday in Wisconsin, and 1.1 million of them voted Democratic. 73.3% of the votes, highest in the country. This is good stuff, not bad.
Yeah, that's good stuff, but some of those voters, as they learn about the superdelegate system and this whole delegate system, learn more about it, are saying, hey, wait a minute. You know,
well, I've got a solution for them. Join the political party, Democrat or Republican. Change it from within. I mean, you know, I mean, we're not doing anything nefarious here. I mean, this was all been public for a long time. We have a delegate selection process. It's 40 pages long. It's on our internet site if somebody wants to look at it. We try to be, you know, unlike the Republicans, we have total goals on diversity and underrepresented groups in our party. You know, rather than attack it, wait, why don't people look and see what it looks like at the end? And I think they'll be relatively happy.
Yeah. And now Ray wasn't so much complaining about superdelegates as I thought he was. He was mad about Michigan and Florida not having their delegates seated, perhaps. Talk a little bit about that. Will there be some sort of compromise, you think?
Eventually. And if we have a nominee before the convention, we'll work out something. We're not going to give away Michigan and Florida and disenfranchise all those voters. The question is, how do you do it? And, you know, just like government is a system of rules and laws, so was our process. And look what happened this year because we hadn't put our foot down in prior years. 24 states voting on the same day, which basically means the only candidates who have a chance are those with lots of money. Because how can you run a national primary without a lot of money? That's what's disenfranchising. You know, if you're Dennis Kucinich, you're saying, what gives? You know, this isn't fair. So what happened is everybody rushed to change their primary date except for Wisconsin, and we got lucky. We had a great week.
Yeah.
And you know, if we would have let Michigan and Florida go as a national committee, then we, you know, people can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and there are no rules. And what happens when you don't have rules? You have anarchy.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be do-overs in those states?
No, I don't. I think there may be caucuses at some point in there. And so much of this is going to depend on whether this primary fight drags out.
Yeah.
If Senator Obama keeps his momentum and he's won 10 straight races, this stuff's all going to get resolved in April and May.
Philip in Dodgeville, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. For your guest, I guess I would just want a little bit of an elaboration. I think the reason why people are upset about the superdelegate process is because despite his assertions that in the end it'll probably reflect the popular vote as well, when we see the pledged delegates versus the superdelegates, or I guess the elected delegates versus the superdelegates, so far the superdelegates are not reflecting the popular vote in terms of the respective, you know, party vote. And I think as far as the assertion of having this as sort of a backup plan, I think most people, I understand the rationale when you base that discussion on what if something horrible happens and then your party is stuck with that candidate, but I don't think people see that as being present right now, and yet despite that fact, it's not reflected in that superdelegate vote as of so far.
We have only 30 seconds.
Well, I think I understand the point. Yeah. I appear as, you know, a supporter of Senator Obama, and that's fine because he's a great American, is that they feel that because currently there's more superdelegates pledged to Senator Clinton than Obama, that somehow that's going to get stolen. I think in Wisconsin, by the time it wins out, what's going to happen is there's going to be many more superdelegates pledged to Senator Obama than he should have had based on the vote.
Hold that thought. We'll check news, and we'll continue with Joe Winicky. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, February the 21st. Talking for the rest of this hour with Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, talking about Wisconsin's primary election results and the delegates awarded from Wisconsin. And what about the superdelegate system? Lots of talk about whether the super delegates system, if that's a good idea or not, in recent days, recent weeks, and Joe Winicky helping us understand why these super delegates are there to begin with. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And, Joe, as you mentioned in our first half hour, one of the reasons this is there is should something happen to a party's front runner that would make that candidate unelectable. The superdelegates are there to say, hey, we're not going to go with this person, we're going to go with that person
and,
instead.
And I think there should be a small clarification. The people that are elected as delegates of the first 74 are pledged to their two candidates, and it's going to be 42 to 32 in Wisconsin. The other 18 are unpledged, which means they may support somebody, but they can change their mind. There's no requirement for them to do so, and that is a protection in the process in case something goes bad.
Yeah, and this is on our topic a little bit because it's an example of something bad possibly happening to a potential presidential nominee. Today, the New York Times is reporting that John McCain may have been romantically involved with a lobbyist, and maybe there were some favors exchanged.
It was a very damning story, but it is, at this point, Senator McCain hasn't had his chance to be heard. And but the point isn't whether it's right or wrong or whether he's been unfairly treated on this. The point is that could happen, and if those allegations were true, they may want to do something about that. But, you know, I hear so much nasty stuff, and there's a full moon out and everything else, and that I don't want to get into whether, you know, it's not fair to Senator McCain, who is an American hero. It's an example, if those allegations were true, that I think many, especially Republicans, would be very upset and nervous about their nominee.
We'll certainly spend some more time on this particular story on another
hour. I got to say this, if it's not true, it sure was a hatchet job.
Yeah, well, we might also talk some on the timing of this story, because the New York Times apparently had this story well before the New Hampshire primary, too. So we'll...
story for another day.
Yeah. Mark in Milwaukee. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to agree with Senator Winnicke, because I think that most people don't understand the party has the right to establish their own process. I mean, Iowa, the Democrats, there's no state law or federal law how they have to conduct their caucus.
That's correct.
And if they want to do it on Christmas Day, they can do it on Christmas Day.
They almost did.
And so I just think that people complaining about one person, one vote, I didn't like the way the process worked out in 1980, and I didn't choose to vote for the Democrat. I voted for Ralph Nader.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my choice. But it's the Democratic Party's choice to figure out how they want to do the process.
And it's always been that way. That's the part that I mean, it's. I guess it flummoxes me a little bit. I understand people's passions and their desire to support their candidate, and I love that. I mean, I love what's happening in Wisconsin and the country right now, because there's an excitement wave on the Democratic side that's unbelievable, and it bodes nothing but good for November.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. Next, we go to Lauren in Milwaukee. Hello, you're on the air.
Just a couple of comments. I will start with the premise that the Democratic Party has false hopes for November. History shows that every time the Democrats had to go into a convention divided like they are right now, they lost. This would be the third instance. Also, in the last 44 years, since 1964, only two Democratic candidates became president. Jimmy Carter, under circumstances that are unique, after Nixon was impeached, and the Vice President Ford then became president and pardoned Nixon, and the independents got mad with the Republicans. And then Bill Clinton, with only 44% of the popular vote, one of the lowest percentages ever, simply because the Republicans, 20% of them, voted for Perot. There is no natural majority for the Democratic Party, and to believe that a candidate who is basically a Marxist, and we should know that because he taught constitutional law in Chicago, and will come out, and has...
Because he taught constitutional law, he's a Marxist?
Yes.
Well, Lauren, Lauren doesn't like Barack Obama.
Doesn't
but,
like Democrats either. Yeah. And, you know, I hope Lauren keeps on believing that fairy tale.
Yeah.
But it's not true. But he has a right to his opinion. It's a great country.
Yeah, I mean,
but teaching constitutional law.
Yeah, teaching constitutional law does not make one a Marxist. But
like the other day, you had somebody from Sparta, comparing somebody to Adolf Hitler. Lord.
But what about that? Every time the Democrats have gone into their convention divided, they lost.
You know, one of the funny things about that is it's February 21st today, I believe, and normally, in any given election cycle, we would have just got past New Hampshire now. We would not have anywhere close to a nominee, but because of the rush to be first, we compressed all this stuff, and we're going to, I still believe we're going to have a nominee of our party, maybe not with all the delegates they need, by April. And if that's the case, it'll be fine. And I've said it until the cows come home, I don't expect this is going to be a brokered convention. I think it's going to be a love fest.
Yeah, well, talk a little bit about what you think Hillary Clinton needs to do in order to take Texas or Ohio. There's a debate tonight, I believe, for example. Does she have to wait for Barack Obama just to make some huge fatal mistake? Or can she do anything?
I'm not convinced Senator Obama will make a fatal mistake. He had a couple of pretty good faux pas the other day, both him and his wife. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's sticking.
Yeah.
And I think if Senator Clinton is going to find a way to pull this off, it's not by going unduly negative, but she has to really start taking one or two core issues. And I think health care is probably the one that is absolutely critical. And I think, believe it or not, I think another one might be kind of like a broader world affairs foreign, expertise. Because, by any definition, that would be a weak spot for Senator Obama because he's only been in the U.S. Senate a few years. So, that kind of world affairs experience, I would, now, I'm not saying this is what I would do. You're asking me the question if I was if I was a consultant to Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton. So I don't want people thinking what I'm doing here. But I think the healthcare issue is one that Democrats are very absorbed into. And I think there is a difference between these two candidates on their plans.
Next, we will go to Donna in Green Bay. Hello, Donna.
Hello. I am also in favor of these delegates, the superdelegates, because, and I believe we're seeing this now, McCain doesn't need Republican votes anymore for him to get in. And, for instance, I was evaluating Brown County's vote yesterday compared to other primaries when there were Republican causes on the other side. There were only close to 30% Republican votes yesterday or the other day, and normally it's like 60%. And we have heard self-reporting, even on the radio yesterday, of people saying the Republicans were voting for Obama because they want to get Clinton off the list. So when you have Republicans choosing, in a close state like Wisconsin, choosing our presidential candidate, they're choosing the one that they think there can be.
And I understand your point. I'm not sure that I completely agree with it, mm-hmm. but it is a conventional wisdom point I hear a lot from people, is that there were a lot of Republicans that were crossing over to cause mischief, by and large. And my belief, from having talked to a lot of their activists, and believe it or not, I do talk to Republican activists on a regular basis, including the chairman over there, we mm-hmm. get along fine, is that the mischief makers were actually crossing over to vote for Hillary Clinton in the hope that they could get her over the top against Senator Obama. I actually think a lot of the Republicans who voted for Obama did so because they liked him.
Yeah, because I thought the conventional wisdom, or at least the polls now, were saying that Barack Obama would be the tougher opponent against the Republican.
And it's a harder, in Hillary's case, there's 20 years of history, so it's really easy to do your opposition research. In Senator Obama's case, it's a lot harder because he just hasn't been on the national stage. So, but boy, when he got there, he sure came on quick. There's such excitement around that. But I think that this whole notion that one party or the other is switching over to the other side to cause mischief is not true. But there is a point that I think I do agree with Donna, is because of the open primary, we've got 30 or 40% of the state is independents. And the key there is they're all voting in the Democratic primary to decide who the Democratic nominee is. I think that's a good thing. And I also think it bodes well for November.
We're talking with Joe Winicky. He is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We're talking about the Democratic presidential nominee or nomination process and what happened in Wisconsin this week and where the race goes from here. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a comment. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 21st. Stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll talk with a guest about how the internet is reshaping the way that we think about ourselves and the world around us. It's not all good stuff, according to our guest, coming up after 8. Right now, we're talking politics with Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and our next caller is Dave in Mount Horeb. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning. There's no such thing as a superdelegate, and I understand
That's true.
And, you know, Democrats, if they were going to sell salt, would call it sodium chloride rather than salt. What we have are elected Democratic officials who are delegates. And, you know, I saw a political cartoon yesterday with three old guys wearing glasses and capes and called superdelegates. I think that, you know, by calling superdelegates or by using that term, we are not assisting our goal in electing a president.
Okay, hold on a second. So that's just sort of the popular terminology, saying superdelegate.
It's largely a media-driven title. Mm-hmm. Like everything else, it becomes almost part of the jargon.
But the elected officials who are the so-called superdelegates have their vote means more than
what?
The regular delegate or
no,
not?
No, it's exactly the same. Okay. The difference is they're unpledged.
Okay.
That's the only difference. Their vote's the same.
All right. So it's the media that's been calling them superdelegates. Then.
Oh, yeah. I want to be like that guy in the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. You know, he wore his cape and he hit the dunk and he got his, never mind.
Yeah. Joe's saying it's the media that calls them superdelegates.
Well, and the media has never been in favor of a Democratic candidate for probably 20 or 30 years. They fell in love with Ronald Reagan. They fall in love with John McCain. They fell in love with George Bush. And what we end up with is millions of people dead in Iraq because George Bush, who doesn't drink, is going to be a nice guy to sit next to in a bar. And when you start allowing the media to give a different name to something else, it's important. With regard to this superdelegate nomenclature, what we're talking about, the casual voter, which is what we normally have, people who sort of wander into Election Day, think about this for a week or so before, I suspect that a large percentage of those people think that superdelegates actually have 10 or 15 votes rather than one vote.
There is a lot of misinformation. I agree with them.
Well, yeah, and that's what we're trying to clear up a little bit here. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So then we're trying to clear that up with this. But you mentioned before the program that Republicans, the Republican Party has superdelegates,
yes,
too.
But they're not really
called superdelegates.
Well, actually, I think they are. But the difference is there's fewer of them. In Wisconsin, there's three instead of the 18 on the Democratic side. And I think they're the members of the Republican National Committee from here. But they also only have half the delegates you need to get the nomination that we have. It's a smaller number. But yeah, they have them. It's just that nobody's talking about them.
Yeah. So Dave thinks...
So Ron Kind, my friend, my dear friend Ron, if you're listening, yes, they do, because you actually didn't say that right the other day.
So do you agree with Dave that this somehow is a media-driven controversy, a Republican corporate-controlled media-driven controversy?
No, I don't on that part. But I do believe that what's happening is there are a lot of people, and this, I think, came on fairly early on because Senator Clinton had initially a pretty large lead in these superdelegates. And I think a lot of people who support Barack Obama, as he started to win, mm-hmm. thought that somehow their vote wasn't going to count because the superdelegates are going to steal the election away. I just never believed that. I don't believe it. Nobody can convince me it's going to happen. And if anything, what I'm seeing is a move by the superdelegates towards Obama, not away from him.
Right. And that's what you see. But it could happen the other way around.
Well, you know, I guess. Yeah, I mm-hmm. guess. Mm-hmm. You know, but the system has worked pretty well for over 200 years. Give it a chance.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave, for the call. Mike in Grant County. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm just wondering why we have a primary election anyway. Shouldn't the Democrats and the Republicans just choose who they want to run and then run them in the fall. That would eliminate all this crossover nonsense about people from the Republican Party crossing over and voting for who they think is more beatable come the fall. And it would also eliminate this entire superdelegate. You guys in the Democratic Party could do whatever you wanted to choose who you wanted, and the taxpayers wouldn't have to pay for this primary election.
It used to be that way. It used to be exactly that way. People often forget, but in 1960, when Jack Kennedy defeated Johnson and Humphrey, it was, I think there were 7 primaries in the whole country. And Wisconsin was one of the critical ones, along with West Virginia. In 1968, if I recall, Hubert Humphrey wasn't even in the race until the end, and became became a very late entry and wound up getting the nomination at the convention. I mean, that was a fight between Bobby Kennedy and Gene McCarthy, and because Johnson dropped out at the end of March. And, by the way, that happened. We're now not even close to the end of March. And for anybody who's caring, I think we're 28 or 29 days till spring.
Yay.
But I thought I'd have to throw that in. But, he's right. You could do that. But then people would really go wild. I mean, I believe that voters should give direction to the two political parties, actually all the political parties, throw in the Greens and the Libertarians and everybody else. But this process, when it compresses like this, I don't think is very healthy either.
Thanks, Mike. Jeremy in Wrightstown. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, to the guest, I appreciate your service in the role of Democratic Party chair. What I have to say is that in this country, however, service should be expected. And I think what we do, and just briefly to address the previous caller,
sure.
We can call them superdelegates, and you can say that's a misnomer, but the fact is we spread 74 delegates out among 5.5 million people. Then we spread the other 16, 18 among 16 or 18 people. So really, that vote is weighted more. I think when we create a situation in this country where one person's vote is weighted more than another's, we send the message that people can't be trusted to elect a presidential candidate. And the second comment is that in our system, you just made a comment where we talk about multiple parties, let them select what they may. Well, the fact is, according to our system, two parties really are all that are viable anyway.
But that's the voters make that decision. They could easily support the Green Party or the Constitutional Party or any of that. They just have chosen not to. And, I understand the point. I just keep coming back to that. I think people forget this is a nominating process for the political parties. It is not November. Mm-hmm. And even in November, it's not a true, one person, one vote because of the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been this way. And that's a part, it can be tough trying to defend something, except that it's been there since our country was formed and it's worked really well. So I think it'll continue to work well.
Yeah. The overall system has been there for 200 years, but the superdelegates were added.
They've only been for 28 years.
Yeah.
And, more than half of my life.
Let's see. Gary in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking the call. I was wondering if this wasn't more mischief on the Republicans' part, with this with the moving the date up in Florida. It just seems like another masterstroke by Rove to, find a way to punish the Democrats without hurting Republicans. And why didn't the DNC resolve this after the legislature changed the date?
Well, we tried by punishing them, thinking that they would do something normal and give the people of their state an enfranchisement in the process. The only thing I'll say about Karl Rove is his track record hasn't been real good lately.
What do you mean?
He's been losing. He was the architect of all of that wonderful stuff that gave us a Democratic majority in the House and Senate in 06.
Yeah. Tom in Fond du Lac, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering if the contest comes down to a tie between Hillary and Barack, if Hillary might be able to call in some political markers that they might have accumulated during the during Bill's administration, if that would give her an advantage.
Trust me, they're already trying. That's not something that would happen then. It's already been happening for a long, long time. And Senator Obama was doing the same thing as best he can. It's just that he doesn't have a former president as a spouse who did a lot of things for people that were very good. So, maybe, I guess, Will they try to call in markers? Oh, absolutely. Will it change anything? I don't know.
But you are, and you, let's end with your prediction once again. You think that this is not going to be an issue come convention time?
I don't think so. I think we're going to have a unified convention, and we're going to walk out of there with a big lead. And then our job is to make sure everybody stays excited. We hold it, and as I said earlier today, so we can end this 8-year national nightmare.
Thank you, Joe, for being here.
Thank you.
Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. Tomorrow during this hour, I think we're going to have a post-debate program. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton will be debating tonight, I think from Texas. It's going to be on CNN. And we'll play some clips and we will talk about what was said in the Democratic presidential candidate debate tonight, tomorrow during this hour. 1-800-747-7444 is our radio store number if you'd like to purchase a CD of this or any of our talk shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, or you can listen to all of our talk programs on our website, wpr.org. We have them stored there for you for listening at your convenience. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.